Amen. No, it's good to have Scott back. Luke chapter 17. Let me tell you something. This is so amazing. God's so good. Do y'all know how cool God is? Luke 17, 20. This morning, we're going to finish up the series. This series, it's a comeback time. Time for a comeback. It's time for a comeback. This is the end of this series for this weekend. But I'll tell you, I was right outside of Louisville, coming back, and the Lord gave me the message for this morning. And I mean, I could just see the characters. I'm seeing those 10 lepers, and I'm like, yeah, yes. Lord, I got it. I said, I just need to know where to find it, you know. Because when you're driving, and I start running the message in my head, and I start, you know, putting in and taking out, putting in, and Melissa's sitting over there, and then she's riding, she's co-pilot, she's made all the arrangements, booked all the hotels, made all the arrangements, she does all that, makes sure she's on time, so this is her downtime. So I start talking to myself and saying stuff like, man, that's a good one. She's like, what? Nothing. Because it's all top secret stuff, I can't tell her anything. Every time she asks, what are we preaching, I always say, Jesus. That's the answer. And I was like, when we got to the end of the message from this morning, I thought, Lord, you know what would be good is if we do a series. And what we'll do is, the first one will be how this guy comes, and that'll be how you got to come. And then, you know what, the second one, Lord, would be real good. And I'm like telling God what I'm going to do, because apparently I know more than him. And I say, God, you know what I'm going to do? The next message will be your second coming, your comeback. And I'm like, all I got to do now is find where to preach it from. Y'all excited yet? Well, I went and found the 10 lepers in Luke 17. But it seems like God was already ahead of me, because he put his second coming at the back end of Luke 17. And I didn't even know it at the time. Ain't that cool? Come on. Man, it's Sunday night. Lighten up just a little bit. That's cool. How God's so far ahead of us that I thought that he was good for one message. Right? Like he was... get me to that one message, it'll be all right. Then, Lord, I'll go somewhere and find the other one. I was like, I've already put them in a package deal in Luke 17 for you to find, if you will, limited one. Amen? Y'all good? That's how, God's good like that. Man, I'm serious. I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you how I operate. I went and read that first part. I got them 10 lepers, and I said, all right, good, Lord. I'm going to go read up behind, up in front of it, and then behind it, I want to get me some context. So start adding some flour to the mix. You know, flour adds context to a mix, don't it, Betsy? If you're going to make something, you add flour to it, and it gives you context. Or texture, if you're cooking, right? I don't know. In the South, we just add butter, right? More butter. All right. So anyway, we started adding the context, right? I started putting the context in. So I went ahead and read it, and I went behind. And that's when I found, hey, look here, Lord. You know, ain't that, man? I'm baffled by how good God is sometimes. I'd already moved to Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. You know what I mean? I'm like, that's where I'll find it. God's like, no, it's all there. Just read a little. Amen? Y'all ready? Verse 20. And when he was demanded. Now this is after this morning's message of when the leper came back. Remember? And the three reasons we got to make a comeback. Three reasons why we have to make a comeback to Jesus. One, he expects us to. Remember? He said, were they not nine of you? Were there not nine more? Were there not 10 in total? Where's the other nine? He expected them all to come back. Listen, if you got saved, God expects you to come back and worship Him and live for Him and accept Him. He didn't just get you out of your sin. He didn't just get you out of your mess. He wanted you to come back and live for Him and glorify Him. That's what He wanted. He didn't want you just to keep on running with your life. He didn't want you just to go on down the road. Why do we come back? We come back because we're grateful, because we knew we didn't belong. The Samaritan represents us because we're Gentiles. We're people who didn't belong. And there's another sect in this room, you didn't belong, and then some of us, we really didn't belong. Right? No, listen, when somebody still hears that you're going to church, they're amazed. When somebody finds out on a Sunday night you're at church, they're like, really? Her? Really? That guy? He's at church? Still? Why? Does he got to fulfill some kind of mandatory church time? Wednesday night too? Has he gone insane? Y'all good? We go because we're grateful. We go back because we know we didn't belong. We go back because we got grace when we didn't get grace. And then we go back. The last reason we go back is because we want to glorify God before we get any of the benefits of our healing and our salvation. I don't want to live on the benefits without giving God glory first. I mean, man, that guy, remember, he's running back to the temple. He's running back to the chief priest to show himself clean. He looks down and realizes he's clean. And he's like, I don't want to go up there to church and to the priest and all that before I go back to the one who did this. I don't want to go get all the benefits of this and not glorify the one who gave me the benefits. Man, sometimes we're running on the benefits when we should go back and deal with the benefactor, the one who gave it to us. Goes back, and that's where we're at. We're in that end of that verse, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, what a cool transition it is, because that's our comeback. That's what our comeback looks like. But this is what his comeback looks like. And I hope this meets you where you're at tonight. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh with no observation. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Man, that's big. That's deep. You know what he said? He goes, it ain't going to come for you watching for it. It ain't going to become you doing some kind of services. It ain't going to be coming because you're going to do some great thing. It's not going to come like most kingdoms come. You know how most kingdoms come? If somebody invaded this country and took over this country and ruled this country, you would know that it came. You would know because it would be in every headline. It would be on every news. And everybody would be talking about, hey, we got invaded and this happened and this person's in charge and we're now doing this. Jesus said, I ain't coming back that way. He goes, you know how I'm coming back? I'm coming back within. It's a silent takeover. It's a silent takeover. It's a takeover from within. See, these guys were looking for an outside thing to happen. Please make Israel better. Please make us rulers over the world. God said, I'm not making you rulers over this world. I'm letting you reign with me in the next world. I'm going to invade your mind and your heart, and it's going to be an inside takeover. Stop looking on the outside and start looking for an inside change. Man, that's good. Because everybody else is looking for an outside thing. Everybody's doing stuff to get right with God. And the only way to get right with God is to get right with God on the inside. And then I'm not looking for the kingdom to come. I know the kingdom's come because the kingdom is inside of me. I know it's coming. Why? I've got a Holy Spirit in me who says, I'm ready. One way or the other. Whether he comes for me individually or the second coming of Christ, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm not wondering if it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. I mean, there's like a time ticker in here. God, hey, the Spirit of God's in here going, hey, he made a promise, and God is not a man that he should lie. That's cool about God, too. You ever thought about this? We serve a God who created time. Man, we're worried about time. Well, how much time do I have? Is time going to run out? And, oh, God, I don't know if I got enough time. And they didn't get enough time. And, God, they got more time. And God's never going, I don't work in time. I was before time. I made time for you. Time doesn't exist to me. I am Alpha and the Omega. Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I'm everything you're looking for. Everybody's got the same amount of time. 24 hours in a day, 365 days in a year, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week. We got it all the same. We're all sitting here. We got time. And if you heard about Jesus, you're wasting time if you have not received Him. You're wasting your time. Because those that us who have been saved, those of us who have been born again, I ain't worried about time. I got time. I've got time that will, I got time in spades. I got time that'll never run out. I've heard people since I've been saved, "Oh, Kevin, you're wasting your time. You're giving everything to God. You've given all your great years to God." I'm like, "What? Great years to God? What are you talking about? He's gave me eternal life. There's no such thing as wasting time. When I get to glory, I know it's just a song. I know it's just a song, but it says, as 10,000 years, as it just begun. That's amazing grace. So if I've been up there 10,000 years in a new glorified body that never grows old or never gets sick, and I praise God, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I ain't give God. It's not even a drop in the bucket, Mel. It's not even a drop in the proverbial bucket. It's not even a drop in it. If I give God 30 years or 40 years or 50 years compared to eternity, what? We've not lost anything. Man, when we step into eternity, we'll be sitting there going, man, the only thing, Mark, we're ever going to say is, God, I wish I'd have give you more time, not less time. I wish I hadn't wasted my time. I wish I hadn't wasted my time on stuff that I know is killing me and taking time away from you. Amen. That's good preaching, preacher. Verse 22, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them, nor follow them. Man, he said, hey, listen, I'm being honest with you. He told the disciples this. There's going to be a day, and he's talking to us, us as disciples. There's going to be a day that you would love to see one of my days. We're creeping off into that more and more. I'm looking around the world, and right's wrong, and wrong's right. Up is down, and down's up. Sometimes, you go out in public, and you're out in a public forum, and somebody says something that's obviously wrong, and you say, no, that's not right. And everybody looks at you and goes, I can't believe you'd say that. How can you say something like that? You're so insensitive, and that's such hate speech. I'm like, that's not hate. That's right and that's wrong. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about just one thing. Some of y'all maybe went somewhere in your mind. I'm talking about almost everything is like that. I mean, just everything. You're sitting there going, wait a minute, I thought that was a right thing and that was a wrong thing. You're like, no. And how do you get wrong from right? And how do you get right from wrong? Well, I looked in this book and I seen, well, God said it was wrong. Well, you're just antiquated. That was just an allegory. There's allegories in here. But when God says something is wrong, it's wrong. That's not allegory. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just preaching. I'm just being honest with you. They'll say, yeah, there'll be people at the end. They'll be saying Jesus over here and Jesus over there. And this is Jesus, and there's a new Jesus. There's a new way. People all the time say, what's the new way? And there's a new word, and I got this new word for everybody. I got this new book, and I got this new story. And I always say, well, does it add up with this story? Does it add up with this book? No, it's different. I say, well, I'm sorry, but I have to reject that. Amen? And because if it didn't come from God, but if it came from a man, then I have to reject that, because this book is the book that God gave us. And if it wasn't good enough for somebody 100 years ago, it ain't good enough for me today. It's got to be good enough for me today. Amen? And it'll be good enough 100 years from now. Do y'all understand what I just said? I just don't want to get emotional and y'all think, oh, I like that. It was a good word. I want y'all to get what I just said. This book will be good for another 100 years, or it comes back. Amen? It will. It's solid. I mean, you can hang your hat on that. I love what he says here. This is powerful stuff. Amen. He said, the kingdom cometh not by... Oh, I'll jump down. Let's see. Verse 24. As the lightning... that lighteneth out of the one part of under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. You know what he just said? He said, when I come back, you'll know it. Have you ever watched lightning? I know it's not the right thing to do, but when the storms come, I kind of go outside. You know what I mean? Because I want to see them. Now, life has changed a little bit for me since I moved into the valley, because up on the mountain, you know, for some reason, you think you're smart or you're avoid from ever getting hit by anything. No, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you. I lived on a mountain over there. I'd stand out there in the storms. I'm like, bah, bah. I'm like, yeah, this is awesome. But some reason, down here in this bowl I live in now, thunder sounds like a train. I remember the first night I moved in there, we had a thunderstorm, and I woke up and said, there's a tornado coming. Because it rumbled for like 30 minutes. And I'm like, should I be like getting somewhere or doing something? But lightning comes from one side of the sky to the other. God said, when I come back, it's going to be just like that. That's who I am. I will show up and show out. I will take mine and everybody will know it. Amen? So don't worry. If you're a believer, you keep looking for me. And listen, when I say looking for God, y'all have heard this before, and I'll say it over and over again where we don't get mixed up. We're not like the Thessalonians. We're not like the Thessalonians. We're not looking. We're not froze up. We're not sitting there going, Lord, come back. Man, ready. I'm ready for you. Come back. Anytime, come back. You know, that's not us. What we're supposed to be doing is operating in our gifts and callings and talents that were given by God. Our gifts given by God, we're supposed to be operating in those gifts. We're supposed to be working in His field, this world, seeing souls saved, seeing lives changed, seeing Christians be better Christians. A lot of people give me grief. I say, well, this or that. I say, look, I minister to my people where they'll be better Christians, where they'll go out of here and lead other people to Christ. You'll reach more people than I do. It's my job to charge you up, to turn you on, to implant a word in you that you go out of here and you be on so on fire for God that other people look at you and say, I want what you got. And where do you get it at? Amen? And that's when you tell them, I got Jesus. And I got a church that's alive. Come with me. Amen? And if they say, I can't make it to your church, well, you give them Jesus. Amen? You give them Jesus right there on the spot. And then maybe they'll come to church with him. If it don't, it don't matter. You sow the seed. Amen? But that's why he said, don't worry. When I come back, I'm going to come out of the eastern sky, and I'm going to take my people, and you'll know it. Be ready for it. It's coming. Amen? Now, can I get real with y'all for a little bit, though? Can we dig in a little bit deeper right here? Because I want to show you something. It's kind of going to hurt a little. That's what doctors say when they're about to operate. But I don't have no anesthesia. Or I can't numb it. But first, verse 25. But first, must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. We know that not only, listen, this generation that was there rejected him, but we are rejecting him as a world today. Okay? And listen, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, and they drank, and they married wives, and they were given in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came, and they destroyed them all. Likewise, also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Listen, we're in this place today where we're operating in life without Jesus. We're operating as a country and as a world without God. We won't recognize God, so we're going out and we're saying, we can buy, we can sell, we can marry, we can drink, we can do, and we don't have to recognize God. Listen, God created us. God created this world. God created everything, and He is the Creator. And after a while, when God looks at a creation that He has made that doesn't give Him glory, He can do whatever He wants to do with that creation. And He's done that with Noah, and He's done that with Sodom and Gomorrah, and He will do it with this world. It was on a lot smaller scale. And some of y'all, we get hung up on the sins of Noah, and we get hung up on the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. But I want to tell you this. The sin of it was that they did not recognize God. Can I preach? Can I get a little deeper? Sin and the different kinds of sin are not the root problem. They're the fruit problem. Are y'all all right? Can y'all handle what I'm saying? Okay, homosexuality, drug abuse, lying, stealing, thieving, murdering, you understand what I'm saying? Those are all the fruits. And when you look at something, you say, oh, that's who they are. Right? Like, we got farmers in this place. If I walk into their fields, I'm going to look. I'm going to walk down through there. I'm going to say, this is a tomato field. Or this is an apple orchard. This is an orange grove. You understand what I'm saying? We're looking at the fruits. But down in the root system, amen? That's what's causing all the fruits. Amen? Okay, the roots of sin is not believing in God, but yet believing in self, ultimately is satanic worship. I didn't think I was going to go there, but we did. Amen? Because Satan worship is not worship of Satan. Satan worship all is a worship of self. If you can get the eyes, I did this, I do that, I'm going to do that, I'm going to buy this, I'm going to sell that, I'm going to work here, I'm going to marry her, I'm going to drink that, I'm going to go over here and do this, and never consider God. You understand? The root of our problem is we don't believe in God. The root of the world is we don't believe in God. Amen? So that's what God's talking about. He said, I'm looking, and any time I can come back and destroy you like I destroyed them because of that. And we're living closer to that than we ever have. We're 2,000 plus years from Calvary. We're closer to the end than we were the beginning. You can write it out and say, well, I'm going to push out another 800, another 1,000 years, but you don't have that. Nobody in this room has that. Everybody in this room, probably being honest, if I'm just looking, all the youth are across the street. We got maybe 50 covering everybody in here. 60 on a large margin. And for people like Earl, another 100, okay? Yeah, everybody said amen on that. But listen, all right, let's go down to verse 29. No, verse 30, 31. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop. Now, this is where it's going to hurt a little bit for everybody in this room, I hope. And what I mean by hurt is, I mean, it hurts you enough to wake you up and make you well and make you think. Amen? Listen to this. In that day, he which shall be in the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. What he's saying right there is, focus on Christ. Focus on the work of Christ. Don't focus on the stuff. Amen? Especially when you see the end draw near, don't go back for the stuff. Focus on going with God. Amen? Okay? Now look, this is where I want to get to. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and the one shall be taken and the other shall be left. When I read that in the King James, I'm kind of weird. I'm like, weird, what's this two men in the bed thing? You know what I mean? But then I started thinking, I said, God, give me a little bit of revelation here. Show me a little bit more deeper into this. And he said it could be as simple as this. Two men that serve in the military together. One bunk, one bunk. One bunk, one bunk. One of them knows Christ, one of them don't. One of them knows the free gift of salvation and one does not. You hear me? And it's a shame because that relationship's going to be broken after a while. And guess what? The Lord's going to come back. And the one that believes is going to be taken out. And the one that doesn't is going to be cast into eternal damnation for eternity. You hear me? I thought about two people in a hospital. Sometimes we think, well, God's got me down in the hospital because I must be living jacked up. I must have messed up. I must have been real bad. But no, sometimes he sends you down to the hospital because he wants you to lay right next to somebody that doesn't know him. Amen? Sometimes you've got to show God's grace and love and your trust and faith in Him even in the darkest hour. And people have to be walking around you going, I don't have what they have. Because two of you are in a bed, and if the Lord comes back, people in the emergency room who know Jesus are going to be taken into glory. And the people who do not still be in the emergency room. And I started thinking about hospitals. And I started thinking about recovery centers. One man knows and one man don't. You hear me? That's what I was thinking about when I come over here. I was thinking, man, Lord, help me with that. He started showing me. The Lord comes back. One's gone, one's still left there. One knew, one didn't know. You hear? Get the right thing. Lord, help us. Our brothers, our sisters, our family. Amen? Shared houses with, shared rooms with. I remember when I was a kid, me and my brother shared a bed all the way up to, we was about 16 years old. Well, maybe not that far. 13, something like that. We was poor. You know what I'm saying? It could be that simple. Are we sharing what we know? Because one day it's going to happen. It's going to be a reality. And it's going to be just like he just said. One will be gone and one won't. And that one that's sitting there will be like, man, what's going on? I at least want them to know, hey, that guy told me about this, right? Or that girl told me about that. You ready? Let's get a little deeper. Are y'all still with me? Can y'all handle about 5 more minutes of preaching? 5 more minutes maybe? Because it's good. Two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Oh, man, this was easy. This was easy. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. This is easy. It's where you work. It's where you work. It's where you work at. Most people in this room, you're going to work somewhere. The majority of your life, you're going to work somewhere. Some of you, it's a grind. Oh, my gosh. Did y'all read that? That's in there. I liked it. Some places, it's a grind. Said two women are grinding. Amen. Man, the old Monday morning grind, the old Tuesday grind, the old Wednesday grind. Said two men in a field. That means wherever you go to work, God said you'll make your labor, you'll make your living by the sweat of your face. Amen. Wherever you're working, you're not there by accident. God didn't employ you in that location just for you to make money. You're supposed to be an example. You're supposed to be an example. To the day when it does happen, and if you are at work, they go with you. They don't just stay there. And if they don't go with you, they say something like, he always told me, she always told me, that one day they were going to be with the Lord. And I thought they were nuts. But they told me. But I have a feeling, I have a sneaking suspicion that it'll be something like this. Wonder where they went. They were just like me. Complain like me. Talk like me. Worked like me. Hang out like me. And done like me. But I think he went to some church on a mountain. I think she kind of went to a church on a mountain somewhere. I hope it's not said of us. Amen. I hope it's not said of us. Amen. Because it's coming. You say, how do you know it's coming? Because I just read it. Amen. That I just read it in the book. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He said, where? Everywhere. Everywhere. They'll be everywhere. This will be going on everywhere in the world. Man, we serve a big and mighty God. See, we got to make a comeback. We got to come back to God as a people before He comes back as a God. Amen? We got to come back as a people. Because He is coming back. The second coming of Christ is right on the edge of coming back. Are you ready? And I said, well, okay, now you're ready. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Get busy in the field. Get busy in the grind. That way, look, when the Lord comes back, He finds you serving Him in those places. Amen? He don't come back and you're just as surprised as the people that were lost. You're saying, man, I knew you was coming back. That's why I stayed busy at this thing. Amen? That's how you know how to do that, right, when your boss comes around? What's the best way to please your boss if he comes looking for you? Be working. Amen. If he finds you leaning, right? He might be looking for another employee. Amen. I'll give y'all one more example. I'll give you one more example. We'll be out. Everybody stand up, because you won't think we're quitting if I don't let you stand up. Miss Betsy, whoever, come get a song. Scott. I always put it in basketball terms or sports terms, and I know y'all, not everybody in here is an athlete or plays sports or played sports in their life, but I always thought about it like this. I want to be in the game. I want to be playing in the game. I don't want to be just a bench warmer, because if you're just a bench warmer, then at any time they can kick you off the team. I want to be a productive member of the team. That way the coach has a hard time getting me off of the team. Amen? He don't look down the bench and say, well, we don't need him. I mean, we all might not be the Michael Jordans or the LeBron James, amen, but at least we can be that guy that plays defense real well or passes the ball or rebounds or does something just where we can't get rid of him. He's the toughest guy on the team. He's the toughest guy on the team. You understand? That's where we want to be in serving the Lord before he comes back, if you're born again. They'll sing a song of invitation. If you want to talk to the Lord, come, the altar's open.